Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 13th of May, recording at 9:49 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, let's have a quick review of the week. In terms of stock markets, well, they've been range-bound in a very tight range overall, but this does include some loss of upward momentum for some of the markets that had been firmer recently. The long-dated government bond markets have been firmer over the last week, and that's continuation of a trend that's been running for over a month right now. More on that in a moment. And the U.S. dollar had an up day here today. It's been mostly firm throughout the week. Precious metals, well, it's like stock markets. It's been sort of a day on and a day off in here overall. But I have to say, mostly with an overall downward bias. We also had a little bit of selling pressure in here today, not in silver, which ended up 50 cents at 35.30, but gold is back under the $1,500 level, currently at 14.94 and 60 cents. It was at $10 lower at one stage today. And the industrial metals, mixed picture here generally. But they had softened more often than not. Also, the grain and bean complex, despite some alarming weather developments, or alarming in my opinion. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in stock markets, it's the same story. We still have some accommodative monetary conditions, not least coming from the Fed, because QE2 has yet to run its course. That carries into next month. But whereas the monetary, very accommodative monetary factors had it pretty much their own way in stock market terms in 2009, and at least following March 2009. And also in 2010, they have run into the trouble that was long forecast on this service of commodity price inflation. And I've described this as variously caught between the having unfavorable monetary conditions and the hell of the commodity price inflation, caught between opposing scrums, a tug of war. But the bottom line is that the commodity markets usually win that contest in leading to some slower growth and some higher interest rates overall. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing. Now, Wall Street has remained pretty steady overall, as has a very a good performing economy, the stock market for it in anyway, Germany. The stock market for Germany is very good economy. But the strength has been boosted by the first quarter earnings that we have seen, whereas the markets will soon, if they're not already beginning to look beyond that, to the second and third quarter earnings, which are unlikely to be so robust. They may be up, but not to the same extent that we saw in the first quarter. So overall, it's a loss of momentum, I think, in terms of stock market action generally. While range-bound, it's been range-bound for months, this did occur. Of course, has occurred within the what for most stock markets has been a cyclical bull market, and quite a good one for some of those markets. But It's certainly not beyond the bounds of possibility that we could see not only more ranging, but that we could see pullbacks and some more mean reversion by some of the more overextended stock markets. And I would rate that possibility at I would rate that at more than a 50% chance in here. Why? Things. Why would I even say that it was so balanced? Well, that's what gives you a ranging market when you have supply demand factors in a state of balance, and it's really just a question of who loses their nerve first in here. And I think the bulls may retreat. We have also seen that in commodity markets. And we have seen some deleveraging generally in here. And so I think it's a tricky period for equities overall. On a longer term basis, I'm quite optimistic, really. And I wouldn't write off the possibility that we saw some decent action in the fourth quarter of this year, if not sooner. But we are in a period of seasonal underperformance for stock markets. And I think the high commodity prices have already done their damage, even though those commodity prices are now in a corrective phase, which I expect to continue. And I think the animal spirits are going to be are already a little bit less evident in here overall. Now, if I take the best of the best among stock markets, it would be the ASEAN group led by Indonesia and Thailand, and they've been leaders throughout the whole bull market, cyclical bull market recovery to date, and they remain extremely, extremely steady. If they were to break upwards, would be a favorable sign. They broke upwards out of multi-month trading ranges and are now in a sort of a multi-week or 2 or 3, 4 weeks trading ranges. So a further upward break, reaffirming the overall upward trends, it would be a positive indicator. But Indonesia and Thailand are obviously not going to have the global clout in terms of sentiment that Wall Street will have. And while I earlier described Wall Street as a day on the upside and a day on the downside, ditto Germany, that the overall loss of momentum up at the higher side of the range may cause investors to lose a little bit of heart here. Again, I put that at over better than a 50-50 possibility, and that could trigger a pullback. After all, there are enough things in the world for people to worry about. You can say that at almost any time, but nobody you will have noticed is calling this a sweet spot. So, how do we actually play it? Well, there's not a whole lot that we can do. Well, you can do all sorts of things in theory, but we can't change what the markets are doing. That's the point I'm trying to make. I don't feel that I need to slash my long-term equity investment portfolio every time a drawdown beckons. Do I think we're going to see a rout? No, I don't. Although that immediately we get some people saying, "Well, define a rout." I don't think we're going to see a bear market. I think we could see a further reaction, further correction. So, more often than not, I'm going to ride that out, and I will ride it out this time. But equally, I have cash on the sidelines, which I've held for quite a long time. Sort of my just-in-case cash fund. And I'm not tempted to come in and buy equities at this stage. But I would if we saw another pullback of 10 or 15% or so, possibly even less. Now, Again, I emphasize that Wall Street is likely to be the key in here, and it looks tired to me, and the banks are underperforming as well. Incidentally, that's a theme in a number of markets, including Japan, where the bank sector took a big hit in here today, and that's not good overall. And for a long time, we've been hearing about how great Japan is on valuations. Well, that's certainly true relative to what it was 10 years ago. But there are also plenty of problems. The obvious economic ones caused by the tsunami and Fukushima disaster. And Fukushima really is a disaster. Okay, fortunately, we're not talking about a big body count here or any body count. But in terms of nuclear poisoning, but it is contaminated a large region, and there's been a reaction, not surprisingly, in Japan to have less nuclear or to look at other plants along that east coast and say, well, what if it happened again further down the main island of Japan? And so talk of shutting more reactors. Well, where does Japan get the electricity from? Not easily. And its medium term, if not longer term solution, will be more coal and oil fired power stations. So that means more pollution, or oil fired power stations. That means again means more pollution here. So that's hurting the economy, and then the yen's much too strong. So I can't get enthusiastic about Japan, which is not a full or many theme. When we get the next all clear signal on global stock markets, and every time you get a long, tedious, boring, ranging phase like we're seeing right now, people begin to despair, and that does drag markets lower, and then you get a good buying opportunity, and you get quite a decent run for a lengthy period of time, a medium-term run, and that's what I expect to happen eventually. But we're not there yet. We're still in this reaction phase overall. Okay, when we do get the upside move, I wouldn't be surprised if China's up there to the forefront. Meanwhile, those of us who are invested in full or money themes are mostly in stronger currency countries. One of the exceptions in a full or money theme is the U.S. multinational companies that have those very strong balance sheets and are benefiting from the Asian-led growth. But of course, they are denominated in US dollars. And although the US dollar has a technical rally underway at this stage, I do not feel there's justification to call it more than a technical rally. Okay, what about these long-dated government bond markets? Well, that's not an encouraging signal. The strength that we've seen in the bond futures, where they've just been grinding out these gains pretty much every week now for over a month. That's not, as I say, a good indication for equities to see the yields go down. It does suggest that these people are anticipating some weakening of GDP growth. Indeed, Fuller Money is anticipating weakening GDP growth due to the spike in crude oil prices and the rises in other commodity prices and a little bit of monetary tightening. There's some loss of consistency if you look at the daily charts of those bond futures contracts, and they are technically overbought now, but as I've said before, we do need the downward dynamics to indicate that those have peaked. And if stock markets are going to come off, that may keep these fixed interest markets steady for a little while longer. I'm waiting for some sort of definitive technical action to the downside, in which point I would like to increase my short position, which is a drawdown that's larger than I would like it to be at this stage. The tactic I'm using in this market, where I've been anticipating and forecasting that we would see a lengthy, very lengthy, choppy, ranging type 3 sort of top formation development for the bond futures. And of course, the yield version of that is a very lengthy, rangy, choppy base formation development for yields, as we're in this terminal juncture between the last bull market and defined by the falling yields, and have now entered the very early stages of the next bear market in terms of overall rising yields. It makes it harder to predict some of the duration of some of the ranging phases within that overall sideways pattern. The decline in yields and the rally in the prices of these long-dated government bond futures look a little overextended to me at this point. But still no downward dynamics on the bond prices, more upward dynamics on the yen futures within this shorter-term trend of the last few weeks. I think we will see it, though. And on a basis of several years down the road, I would expect yields to be higher across the boards in terms of these long-term rates. These are still historically low rates for an economy that is not in widespread recession. It's an economy that's seeing somewhat slower growth for most economies. But some of those growth economies, led by China, are still doing extremely well in terms of their overall GDP figures. And we don't have that many economies in recession overall. The one thing that would change that would be another spike in oil prices, but I'm reasonably optimistic that crude oil prices have reached a medium-term peak in here. Commodities are all in a secular bull market. We've mentioned that for such a long time, a decade, for instance. But you get enormous volatility within that secular bull market. And you get some swinging bear markets because we do have a business cycle. I'm talking about a generation long secular bull market, which I believe is what we have for commodity markets. But the somewhat slower growth, the damage done by the higher commodity prices, has put us into this corrective phase here. I hope it's a good strong correction overall, a good long correction. And I suspect technically that it's at least a few weeks, and that's certainly not very, very long. But let's take it commodity by commodity in terms of some of the majors. Crude oil prices, there's a fair amount of natural gas around that's cheaper, and the premium has not been, or the Arab uprising premium, or Arab Spring, whatever you want to call it, has not been fully wrung out of the oil price yet, and nor will it be while the Libyan supply is still down. And that's turning out to be a long, drawn-out story here overall. So the supply-demand balance is tricky here. But some of the fear premium has obviously come out of the market, and there has been a fashion trend away from the commodity trackers, and that's good news for the global economy generally, because we do not want to see those, or any advocate or anybody who wants to see reasonable growth around the world does not want to see those commodity prices pushing any higher at this time. What concerns me, well, let's stick with the energy for a minute. I think looking beyond the next few weeks, and the evidence, as I say, is that oil should come a little bit lower. Looking beyond that, I think we will have high energy price scares from time to time over the next 5 and possibly the next 10 years. That's because it's all finely balanced in terms of crude oil production. The shale gas will not have spread, or development will not have spread around the globe, although that will come in the longer term future, along with shale oil. But I've described the environment as being one where we would have some energy risks here in terms of uncomfortably high prices for the next 5 to 10 years. Beyond that, I've said I think we're going to see very favorable energy conditions as more and more of the shale gas and shale oil is developed. And hopefully we'll also see more nuclear developments. We certainly will in most of the growth economies. And I hope we will in the West as well, because I think it's a much safer, the current generation of reactors is a much safer and cleaner form of energy than any fossil fuel. There's no doubt about that, in my opinion. So that's the energy story. In terms of foods, this weather situation this spring is alarming. We've got the floods, the Mississippi River's floods, and the fact that the Corps of Army Engineers that run the levees there are having to breach the levees to let some water off. In other words, what they're doing is that they're sacrificing the farmland to save the cities downstream. So they don't want to flood Louisiana all over again, or see it flood all over again. But as you wipe out the farmland, that exacerbates the food shortages that we've been experiencing for the last year or more. Now, that's not an attractive situation in terms of U.S. crops at this stage. And in the Texas area, also, you've got some drought, which is a problem. We have hot, dry conditions, very dry conditions in Europe. And that's a major worry. And we have, and it includes the UK this time. We've been basking in splendid sunshine, but it's playing havoc with the farmers, or for the farmers. Now, China also has drought problems. So this is a concern. It's not reflected in the price action here short term, because we're still getting some deleveraging in the commodity markets, and it's still early in the season. So it's not beyond the bounds of possibilities that enough of with a improvement in weather conditions that crops could be quite reasonable this year. It's not, as I said before, I'll repeat it, it's not beyond the bound of possibilities that that could happen. Bounds of possibilities. But it's risky. It looks risky here at this stage. And my gut hunch is that the grain and bean complex will reflect the damage over the medium term, if not the short term. Okay. What else to mention? Currencies. Japan needs a strong yen, like a hole in the head. Japan needs a much weaker yen, so I'd like to see some further intervention to weaken the Japanese currency. But that is not apparent at the moment. It's not a bad trade in anticipation of that. I favor shorting the yen on its strength, or in other words, as the dollar, the Canadian dollar, the euro, sterling, as they come down, as they drift down within very quite broad ranges now, as they drift downwards against the yen. If you're interested in this and subscribe to my hypothesis for what will happen, then it's tempting to open some long positions, in other words, to be shorting the yen on an incremental basis and then trade it out on the next rally upwards. And the US dollar is experiencing a technical rally. It needs to be a very good rally to really reinforce some floor areas that have been under pressure against weaker currencies. The US dollar index, for instance, that needs to rally significantly here to indicate that we're going to see a longer term continuation of the ranging pattern that we have seen previously. So, what about our favored currencies? Well, on a short term basis, some of these commodity currencies may suffer a little bit. And we've seen the Australian dollar, for instance, come back 4 cents. We may see them ease a little bit here as commodity prices come off. But a currency like the Australian dollar, it's currently the US, it's currently at 105.73 against the 105 is the big number. Not far off 106 against the US dollar. I wouldn't be surprised to see that go back up to 140 over the next decade, maybe sooner. Now the key question is, are we going to see a US dollar crisis? And the answer is, my answer is that I hope not. It's a risk. I don't like to bet on crises actually happening. They're avoided more often than not. Then you get one major crisis, and people extrapolate that all over the place and think it's going to be repeated everywhere, but it doesn't work out that way in point of fact. But the currency situation is a concern in terms of this dollar weakness overall. On a longer term basis, I say what we've said for many years. We like the Asian currencies, we like the commodity currencies on a long term basis. And folks, I don't want this audio to run on too long. On that note, have a great weekend. All the best.